The news from Twitter yesterday and Wall Street's reaction to it are hard to summarize in 140 characters. The social networking site announced that it doubled its quarterly revenue from a year ago to $250 million. Twitter also increased its number of active users to 255 million. That is what is up at Twitter. What's down is the value of its stock. Twitter, which went public last November and reached a share price of $74 in December, opened this morning under $38. What's going on? Well, we're going to ask Dick Costolo, who is Twitter's CEO and who joins us from the company's offices in San Francisco. Welcome to the program.
Thanks very much for having me, Robert.
Explain this to us. Twitter just added 14 million active users in 3 months. It's an increase of 5.8%. It's 25% more than a year ago. And Wall Street analysts call that growth tepid. How many users will you have to have by, say, next year at this time to have growth that investors consider robust?
Well, that's a fair question. I think the way we've articulated our thinking about the future of our user growth efforts are very much in the context of bridging this gap between what is seems to be the global awareness and almost ubiquitous presence in the culture about Twitter. It's on TV everywhere. It's in print everywhere. It's all across the web. And migrating that awareness of Twitter into engagement on the platform. And I've mentioned publicly that I think it will be a combination of changes that we make over the course of the year in service to that kind of growth, and we'll see how that goes for us.
Are you effectively in a race with Facebook? Are they the benchmark here for what growth is supposed to be in social media?
Well, I think about us at Twitter as being public, real-time, conversational, and that has made us this companion experience to whatever else is happening in your world. We think that the platform itself is so different from why people use Facebook that I don't think the comparisons in terms of users or anything else really is helpful. For example, they view engagement on Facebook in terms of time on site, and we view engagement on Twitter as how quick we can deliver utility to the user.
You've mentioned TV. The head of research for NBC Universal this week compared social media to the emperor's new clothes. He said during the 18 days of the Sochi Winter Olympics, just, that was his word, 19% of Olympic viewers posted about the games on social media. His inference was social media doesn't drive TV viewing. TV viewing drives social media, Twitter included. Is he right about that?
So when we invested in our Twitter and TV strategy, it was based on data that we saw that there was a two-way complementary relationship between Twitter and TV. Not only did that data tell us that Twitter drives tune-in, but that commentary on TV drove engagement and conversation back to Twitter. Nielsen's study said specifically that there are three things that are correlated with tune-in and ratings, and that those are A, the previous season's ratings, B, ad spend for that program, and C, Twitter.
Do I hear you saying that the NBC Universal research is the outlier here? Is that your response to it?
I think I would just say, we have a different perspective about it is maybe the way I would put it. And the interesting thing here is that NBC is actually a fantastic partner of ours tying Twitter and TV together.
Twitter has infused a new meaning into the at symbol and the pound sign, and we've heard that Twitter may get rid of them. Will they disappear in the near future?
Well, the hashtag for us is absolutely here to stay. People understand it globally. I was in Shanghai recently where Twitter is blocked, and yet there were ads and billboards across town with hashtags on them. So I think hashtags are very much here to stay, and we will continue to invest in those.
What about the at sign? Does it have as good a future, as solid a future as the hashtag?
Yeah, I think the at sign is some of the scaffolding that I talk about within Twitter that sometimes makes it harder to navigate in specific cases. So let me just give you a simple example. Mm-hmm. When I'm having a conversation with six or seven people on Twitter, the conversation and my responses start to be some of the 140 characters start to be consumed by the six or seven at usernames in the tweet. That leaves me very little space left in which to navigate. So those are the kinds of things I'm talking about when I publicly say we need to push the scaffolding of Twitter to the background and bring the content forward and allow people to navigate more freely.
So the functionality would remain, but we wouldn't see it.
I think that what should be the case is I can have a conversation with 8 or 9 people on Twitter and not feel restricted by my ability to converse with them because there are so many of us in the conversation. So generally speaking, the kind of thing you're saying is correct. I just wouldn't interpret that as you won't see it. We'll just push that to the background and bring the content forward.
It was reported recently that some officials from Twitter met with officials from Turkey. Twitter was blocked there and then unblocked there recently. First, to get unblocked in Turkey, did you have to concede anything to the Turks, say that some tweets seen elsewhere would not be seen in Turkey?
No, specifically, it was the Constitutional Court in Turkey that ordered the unblocking of the platform that enabled Twitter to be turned back on in Turkey. When we receive valid, appropriate legal requests that go through the appropriate legal processes in countries in which we operate, then we will go ahead and apply our country withheld content policies to them that enable everyone else around the world to still see them. But we have to abide by the rule of law in the countries in which we operate. So that's what's going on there.
In this country, if I tweeted from an account that I have blocked to non-subscribers, is what I tweet about and where I tweet it from private and unavailable to the authorities? Or is it theirs if they ask you for it?
If you tweet something that you've done, and you've done so as a private account, it's, first of all, it's certainly not public and broadcast. Let me try to just make this as clear as I possibly can. Whenever we have had requests for information from our users that we have deemed to be in violation of our users' rights, or believe that those users should have the right to defend their ability to keep that data private, we have gone out of our way in every circumstance, above and beyond, to enable those users to fight those requests in open court. And I think it's fair to say that we've been at the forefront of protecting our users' rights in that respect, and we'll continue to do that.
Dick Costolo, thanks a lot for talking with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Robert. I appreciate it.
Mr. Costolo is the CEO of Twitter. You can follow him at DICKC. You can follow me at rsiegel47 and the program at NPRATC.